You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Rob Bogosian, principal at RVB Associates, a leadership consultancy based out of Florida and Boston, which helps business leaders and other key executives to excel in how they manage themselves and others. Dr. Rob gives prescriptions for organizational health. Dr. Rob, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you. So, first of all, starting off, what is high influence leadership, or HIL, generally?
Generally, we refer to it as the ability to self-reflect and constantly learn. Executives in key positions sometimes take for granted the influence and the impact they have on their organizations. And on the follower side, I believe that there's a romanticism about what followers, employees expect of their leaders. So leaders need to keep their finger on the pulse of their influence, on the pulse of everything that they do, everything that they say, don't do, when they do it, when they don't do it, and can take absolutely nothing for granted. It's just one of the leadership perks, as we refer to it in the business, that come along with the territory.
And what are the benefits of HIL for employees, teams, and companies?
Well, one of the benefits is that a high-influence leader becomes aware, as I said, of what they do and how they do it, and the impact that their practices have on the employee culture and on the business. And when they're highly aware of everything that they do and every response that they get, they're tuned in to the way that people interact with them. And as such, they're able to self-correct in the moment and after the moment. So in the moment, a high-influence leader is capable of assessing a situation when they're in it and ask themselves, is this working? Is this not working? Am I getting my point across? If I'm not, what do I need to do right now, right here? How am I going to fix this situation? If they don't do that or can't do that for some reason, then after the moment, they ask themselves the same question. There's a constant self-reflection and insight. Both of those things have to operate together, and that's what we emphasize in high-influence leadership, the ability to self-reflect and the ability to gain insight. You can't have one without the other. Self-reflecting without insight can amount to no more than rumination. And insight without self-reflection is just sort of guessing about the influence that you have. So we push those two concepts to watch what you do and how you do it and the influence it's having on the employee culture, the business, your clients, all key stakeholders that are impacted by an executive's behavior.
Can high-influence leadership be developed and sustained?
It can be developed. Of course, there are varying degrees of where people are in terms of their influence. It isn't an all-or-nothing range. So if, for example, assessments point to a medium or a low need for self-reflection and insight, since I was talking about that, then it can be developed. Leaders can develop the ability to self-reflect if they're not doing enough of it. And it's a little bit complicated in that we have to figure out, we, meaning us at RVB Associates, and the executive or the executive team or the executive population, what's holding them back from self-reflection, what's holding them back from achieving high-influence leadership. And for each person, that could be very, very different. So when we say we develop leadership capability one leader at a time, we mean that. We don't do one-size-fits-all. It's just not possible, given the complexities of human behavior. So we key into each person's ability to self-reflect, gain insight, and as a result, create cultures of voice, where people are able, willing, and wanting to participate in conversations that are important, work-related dialogue between the decision-makers and the implementers.
Today we are joined by Dr. Rob Boghossian, principal at RVB Associates, a leadership consultancy based out of Florida and Boston, which helps business leaders and other key executives to excel in how they manage themselves and others here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. What are the major consequences for companies when leaders do not achieve HIL?
Well, what happens if HIL isn't achieved, typically, is that employee culture knows that there's low level of influence. And what that means typically is that there's a high tell organization. So decision makers unilaterally decide and make announcements about what will be, what won't be, and they make that announcement public, whether it's in a group, whether it's enterprise-wide. And in doing so, the message is clear to the associate culture that there is no ability to participate in discussion. And slowly, organizations typically start to develop cultures of silence. And cultures of silence are ones where populations of workers decide that it doesn't make any difference whether their voice is heard or not heard. And they begin to socialize that experience, and they shut it down. So they shut down voice. And then they become dependent on the leader. Is this okay? Can I do this? Should we do this? I don't know what to do. So the cycle of dependency becomes stronger and stronger. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So breaking that cycle requires an intervention that is about moving toward high-influence leadership. It can be developed. It can be sustained. It isn't always easy, but it's absolutely doable. It isn't hard. It's not rocket science. But it is a matter of discipline, and it is a matter of every leader doing their part to make sure that they stay tuned in to what they do and how they do it in the enterprise and the impact it has on the people who are responsible for implementing workplace strategy, client strategy, and the like. But it is doable.
What are some practices that leaders can try now to move closer to becoming a HIL?
Well, one of the things that leaders could do in terms of self-reflection is to watch the percentage of time they talk and tell people versus the time, the amount of time they spend asking for the purposes of inquiry. Like, are you curious about what other people think? Are you curious about the ideas that other people have? And look at that ratio. If in five meetings you track that you're spending 60% to 80% of your time talking to people, guiding the conversation, steering the conversation, that's 60% of the time that you're not listening and learning and drawing other people out to participate in the conversation, in the dialogue, in the problem-solving process, in the innovation process. And that's 60% of the time that you send a message to your associate culture, your associate population, to just listen. Just listen to what I say. I have the answers. Just listen. And if that's your fundamental belief as a leader, you're not a high-influence leader, you're probably a lower-influence leader. Where does that come from? That comes from the belief that as a senior leader, I have the answers. I am where I am because I have the answers to the problems, and I have the solutions that need to be implemented. I know. So that sort of confirming, judging, learning orientation gets in the way of becoming a high-influence leader. To track that first is step number one in the process of becoming a high-influence leader.
And lastly, what companies have you identified where high-influence leadership is firmly entrenched?
The new high-tech companies are the classic high-influence leadership cultures. Google, for example. I just had a conversation with an executive there, very high up, who explained the culture of newness. For example, she explained to me that they know, based on evidence, they track and they know that 15% of Google searches have never been seen before. And that data tells them something about the way people are using their technology and Google as a device. And so they look at that data, they look at what they don't know, and they study what they don't know in order to be there with a response and a solution before the user gets there. I thought that was very interesting. Now, that's a high-influence leadership culture because they're after learning, they're after curiosity, they're after using data to tell them what they don't know versus using data to tell them what they do, what they already know, so they can feel comfortable and safe. The brain wants to feel safe. It's called cognitive certainty. And when we don't know, oftentimes leaders will go back to what they do know and rely on it to achieve that level of safety. But in the complex world that we all live in today, there is no such thing. That just keeps you stuck where you are in a status quo. So I would say Google is probably the number one. In my experience, it's the number one. I think Microsoft has a great culture, high-influence culture. They're constantly after being better, doing better, listening to other ideas, listening to each other, challenging ideas in respectful ways, not being nice to each other, not being mean to each other, but challenging each other in ways that moves their technology and their knowledge up the learning curve as fast as possible. And that's important because the issue is knowledge transfer. An open, high-influence culture, high-influence leaders are capable of moving knowledge through their organization at lightning speed. And what we know from the research is that companies that do that better than their competitions fare better in terms of market value than those who do not. So this is one of the important factors of becoming a high-influence culture and developing leadership populations to become high-influence leaders.
Well, if you would, how about telling our listeners where they can get more information about RVB Associates online, if you would?
Sure, they can look at what we do and how we do it and who we are by going to our website, which is www.rvbassociates.com. We have some video clips in action where your listeners can see what we do in action. And we have an upcoming book coming out this summer. The book is called Breaking Corporate Silence, How High-Influence Leaders Create Cultures of Voice. So we're really looking forward to that publication, which will be available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble as well.
Certainly appreciate the insight on this topic. In conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip on the topic of high-influence leadership for the listeners?
Just one thing. It's essential that we do this now, and it's within every leader's capability to become a high-influence leader. We're convinced.
Dr. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Thanks for the time spent.
Sure. Thank you.
We've been speaking to Dr. Rob Boghossian, principal at RVB Associates, a leadership consultancy based out of Florida and also Boston, which helps business leaders and other key executives to excel in how they manage themselves and others. And once again, the website of reference is rvbassociates.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.